Good morning, everybody. Welcome to week two of our Fully Engaged series. In this series, what we're doing is we're studying what it means, what it looks like to be a fully engaged follower of Jesus Christ. I believe that we are living in a time where our community needs to be filled with voices that are able to speak hope and speak love and speak life into dead situations. But in order for us to reach our full potential, it's essential that we are fully engaged. And so the message I'm going to share here this morning is really a message that's been extremely helpful to me in my own faith journey. In fact, it has shifted the way that I think about and the way that I look at my relationship with God. And so it's my prayer that this is going to be a blessing to you like it was to me. So I want to start this morning by asking a question. Have you ever experienced a time in life where, you know, you're just cruising along? You know, everything's going great. Everything is sort of like smooth sailing. And then all of a sudden, just like boom, you just hit a wall. And not only do you hit the wall, but you sort of just find yourself like you just get stuck in that place. You know, like you begin to spin your wheels and you can't get any momentum forward. And what happens is when we're in these positions, we start to ask these questions, you know, like, what's going on? You know, why can't I break through? What's wrong with me? Maybe perhaps you've walked into a church service much like this one, and you know, as the pastor was giving the message, that it was meant just for you. But yet there's this hesitation, there's this fear of stepping into what God wants you to do. Maybe you were doing your soap journaling, your Bible reading and journaling, and as you're doing it, a verse jumps out at you, and you feel this desire in your heart. You feel God nudging you to do something, but you're just stuck. You can't move forward. You've hit this wall. Have any of you ever been in a season like this in your life? Let me see your hands. All right, most of us in this room have been there. Today I want to share with you something that will help you navigate through those seasons. Everyone who is a follower of Jesus is on what I call a spiritual growth continuum. In fact, in your notes page, it looks a lot different than it normally does in your service guide. I want you to take this out with me. There's this diagram. It looks crazy, confusing. Hopefully, it'll make sense as we go forward. I put numbers by each answer to hopefully help you stay caught up with me here. But here, we're all on this spiritual growth continuum. And at one end of the continuum, on the right side, on your right side, my left, is becoming more like Christ. And that's really where each of us want to be. And on the other end of the continuum is becoming less like Christ. And every single day, you and I make decisions that either cause us to move closer to or further away from Jesus. And so our goal should be to daily make the types of decisions that move us towards becoming more like Him. And so this is our desire. Number one, the first blank in your outline. Number one, we know that we want this. We want to be more Spirit-led. We want to see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Everything that we know and that we want in life is on this side. But on the other side, number two, fill in the blank, number two, we know that we don't want this. Well, we know we don't want to be in that area. For some of us, we don't want to look like, we don't want to become like our past. We know that we don't want to be more flesh-driven. We know what it is that we don't want to become. And the problem is that as we are on this spiritual growth continuum, that there are moments that it feels like you just hit that wall. Like you just get stuck. Like everything is smooth and you're doing good in your relationship with God. But then there comes this moment where we just hit this place. And so for the sake of our message today, I'm going to refer to these moments. It's number three in your outline. It's a threshold of scary. a threshold of scary. And it's in this moment, it's at that place that we face a choice. Now, when you study the Bible, you're going to discover that every person that God used in a great way, every individual who achieved their destiny and fulfilled their God-given purpose came up against these seasons in their life. Jesus himself, when he walked the earth, he came up against multiple thresholds of scary. When he finished praying and fasting for 40 days, scripture tells us that the devil himself came and tempted him three times. What is that? That's a threshold of scary. On the night before his death, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying, and he says, God, I know what your will is, and I know what my destiny is, but God, isn't there another way? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. A threshold, a scary. In the book of Genesis, you can read the story of Jacob. And Jacob is cruising along, and he's moving towards his destiny. He's moving towards what God wants him to become. He's working to be that. And then he has this encounter, and literally he wrestles with God the entire night. A threshold of scary. All through scripture, story after story, you'll see it time and time again. Now, how do we know when we've hit that threshold of scary in our life? I believe that there are 9 indicators, I'm going to share them with you, that come out of us when we encounter this threshold. Here they are. I want you to write them down. The first one is pride. It's pride. When we see pride come out, it's a signal that we may, in fact, be at a threshold of scary. The next one is fear. Fear. And anytime we know the right thing to do, but we hold off because we're afraid. Another one is insecurity. Insecurity. When we see insecurity, it's a good indicator that we may in fact be at this threshold of scary. Here's another big one for a lot of people. Evidence of undealt with pain. Evidence of undealt with pain. You know, we're just cruising along through life and everything is fine, and then all of a sudden some painful thing from our past comes up. It rears its ugly head. I'm going to break it down and make it really, really practical here this morning. The next two are anger and overreaction. Anger and overreaction. When something small, something insignificant happens and we overreact, we blow up and we lash out at those we love in anger. Let me give you a couple more. Judgmentalism. And when we become judgmental, typically leads us to finger pointing. Judgmentalism and finger pointing. And we start saying things, well, if my boss would. Well, if she would have done this, or if my spouse would do this. If only my kids would behave like everybody else's perfect kids behave. If only we start finger pointing. And then the final one is excuses. We begin to make excuses. And if we find ourselves at a place when we are participating in one or any combination of these 9 behaviors, and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, it's a pretty safe bet that we are at a threshold of scary. And God is trying to do something on the inside of us. He's trying to do something in us in order to move us closer to the person that we know that we want to become. And to move us further away from what we know that we don't want to be. And so what you'll find in your spiritual journey is over and over and over again, God will bring you to these thresholds of scary. And number 5, the way to move past them is to embrace brokenness. Embrace brokenness. The way we move past the threshold of scary is to embrace brokenness. Brokenness. Well, what is brokenness? Number 6 in your outline. Brokenness is any moment in time where we come face to face with the reality of who we truly are. Brokenness is any moment in time where we come face to face with the reality of who we truly are. It's those moments when I realize that I'm not good, that I'm not capable, that I'm not strong enough to get to where I know that I want and need to be. I want to be this. I know that I want to be moving that direction. And in any moment we come to this threshold of scary, and we look at our life and we say this, you know, we think, you know, I know what I want. But in order for me to get there, I have to be broken before God so that His strength and power can literally pull me across. The Apostle Paul actually talked about this in Romans 7. He's describing these moments in time that come up as we move toward becoming who God wants us to be. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said, Romans 7:21. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Verse 22, I love God's law with all my heart. In other words, this side is what I really, really want. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. The power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. I want you to catch this, verse 24. Oh, what a miserable person I am. That's brokenness. When Paul comes face to face with the reality of who he truly is. Oh, what a miserable person am I. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? It's scary. But I love verse 25. Here's the promise. Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. The only way we get from our threshold of scary to where we ultimately know we want to go is through Jesus Christ. But guess what? The reason why this is so scary, because this right side we know and the left side we know. We know what we want to become. We know that we can see that mountain and we know where we are. But what is unknown is what I'm calling number 7, a season of brokenness. A season of brokenness. Brokenness is this season of time that God brings us through in order to take us to number 8, a spiritual metamorphosis. A spiritual metamorphosis. When we hear the word metamorphosis, I'm going to get tongue-tied here in a minute, most of us flash back to the concept that we learned in elementary school. And the one illustration that everybody knows is what when it comes to metamorphosis? What is it? Caterpillar to butterfly, right? The caterpillar goes into the cocoon and he comes out completely different. I want you to notice it's not just a better caterpillar. It is a totally different being. But what I want you to remember is that the metamorphosis from a caterpillar to a butterfly, it does not happen in an instant. It's a process. It's time-consuming. There's a struggle in that process. Let me bring it a little bit closer to where you live. Metamorphosis, spiritual metamorphosis, is not just one prayer. It's not a single event. It's not a single church service. It is a season. It is a period of time. And in James, the book of James in the New Testament, verse 4, chapter 4, we see the reality of this continuum of the threshold of scary. The struggle of knowing what we want to be against what we know we don't want to be, all in the face of this unknown season of brokenness. Listen to what it says, starting in verse 7. It says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's the secret right there. That's how we cross over. When you hit a threshold of scary, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Verse 8, come near to God, and he will come near to you. That sounds like a great promise, right? Come near to God, and he'll come near to you. And that's what we know. That's what all of us in this room want. But in our carnal thought process, you know, we think that verse 8 should continue on with something like, you know, come near to God and he'll come near to you. And if you do this, God's going to make all of your problems disappear. He's going to make everything just go away, all the difficulties. You know, everything's going to be easy street. Everything's just going to be a whole bunch of, you know, magical unicorns and rainbows and Skittles falling from the sky. Right? That's what we think. But I want you to listen. As James continues to describe the spiritual continuum, he says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Well, that isn't very nice, James. You just said, come near to God and he'll come near. But he says, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Well, that doesn't sound very exciting. Verse 9, it gets better. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. And so what James is saying is that when you hit this threshold of scary between where you know you are and where you know that you want to be, there is this season, there's this period of time where we literally need to embrace brokenness. It's kind of like standing on a mountaintop and looking across at another mountain and wanting to get to that other mountain peak. But what we're not able to see is we're not able to see the valley that we're going to have to walk through in order to get to that next mountaintop. And in our spiritual journey, this season of brokenness will happen over and over and over and over again. We've got to walk through this valley season. So what does this season look like? James actually described the three phases of a season of brokenness in the passage that I just read to you. Number 9 in your outline is this. The first phase is wash your hands. And the word I'd like you to write down is the word conviction. Conviction. When we step across the threshold of scary and when we move into a season of brokenness in our lives, there's a time of grieving as the Holy Spirit begins to literally convict us on the inside of our sins. If you've walked with God for any length of time, you know exactly, you know, what I'm talking about. Maybe it's an attitude that you've developed toward your spouse and the Holy Spirit just kind of begins to nudge you, begins to convict you of the attitude that you have and you go, you know what, man, I need to change that. God, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Help me to fix my attitude. And the problem for so many of us as Christians, the vast majority of us as Christians, we are content to stop at this point. We get convicted, we cry a little bit, we say we're sorry, but that's not how you achieve the spiritual metamorphosis, the transformation that God has for you. It starts there with conviction, but that's not where it ends. The second phase is this, purify your hearts. And the word that I'd like you to write down is the word confession. Confession. Scripture tells us that the heart is deceitfully wicked, and buried deep within our hearts are issues that we need to have purified, that we need to be set free from. For many, God has already forgiven us multiple times in these areas. These are our struggle areas, but yet we still haven't been able to shake them. I don't know if you've ever struggled with any bad habit or an addiction in your life and these things. We go to God and we say we're sorry and we weep and we cry and we wail and they mourn and yet they continue to hang on. They continue to hold on to us and repeatedly we fall back into the same pitfalls over and over and over and over again. And why? It's because even though that God has forgiven us, we haven't put into practice the second phase of confession. Listen to what James said in chapter 5, verse 16. He says, confess your sins to each other so that you may be healed. We confess to God to be forgiven. but we confess to one another for healing. Conviction and confession are part of the process of this season of brokenness. Now, I don't suggest that you run around and share your story with everyone in this room, but all of us need to have somebody that knows our secrets. Somebody that we can trust, that we can confide in and say, man, I need you to help me. I need you to pray for me. I'm struggling in this area. If you are the only person in this room that knows your deepest sin and deepest struggle, you are going to hurt in your spiritual journey. The third phase is this. It's to stop being double-minded. In the next fill in the blank there, I want you to write the word consecration. We need to consecrate our lives to God. What does that mean? We need to stop trying to live in two worlds at the same time. In James chapter 1, verse 8, he says this, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The final phase of metamorphosis actually happens in our minds. This is where we literally begin to experience a change in our mindset. The reason why we sin, even when we know that it's not God's best for us, is because of our double-mindedness. This is why we fall back into unhealthy patterns and unhealthy habits that we know aren't of God. That we know that they're not God's best for us. It's because we are not singular of mind. Our mind is divided. And this is the reason that seasons of brokenness, while they're not fun, they are so important in our lives. We must cross this threshold of scary so the Lord can take us through this work of conviction and confession of sin and true consecration at a heart and at a mind level. It's then and only then that we are truly transformed. One of the best illustrations of this is found in the book of Acts, chapter 9. It's the story of the conversion of Saul. Saul would later become known as the Apostle Paul. He would go on to write 2/3 of the New Testament. So this is the story of his conversion. Acts 9:3 says, as he neared Damascus on his journey, so Saul is on this journey, and his journey was not a good one. His journey was to persecute Christians. He was literally going from city to city, helping to kill new believers from the early church. And so as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. I want to pause here and just tell you that Saul was not some, what we would label as a, from an outward perspective, a wicked man. Saul was a highly trained religious leader of that day. And so he's going about his life. He's moving through his life. He's trying to fight for the old way of doing church and the old value system that he grew up believing and he grew up hearing training about. And so he's moving through life. He's doing his thing. And then boom, this supernatural conviction just comes down and hits him, knocks him down right in the middle of the road. And Jesus gives him a vision and he says, why are you persecuting me? Stop it, Saul. Why don't you wash your hands? And so he says, now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. And I want you to notice this experience here wasn't the end of Saul's journey. It wasn't enough for Saul to simply have an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. It was just step one in the process. Verse 7, the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. So Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. He was blinded. It was literally a threshold of scary. How many of you know when God blinds you? Like, that is a scary moment, right? And so they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. So he has this revelation. He has this conviction of sin. And so Saul confesses. Obviously he has to say something to these guys so they can get him to Damascus. And so he tells them, he says, man, I've seen this vision and I can't see anything. And it lasted for 3 days. And I just want you to realize it wasn't a moment. It was a season of brokenness that God took Saul through. So they led him to Damascus, and at the same time, God begins to lead a man named Ananias, a believer, to get involved. I just want to pause here and tell you, I encourage you to be careful who you allow to lead you in seasons of brokenness. It matters. Verse 15, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. Consecration. Not only were his natural eyes opened, but his spiritual eyes, his spiritual understanding was opened and was immediately changed. Saul was healed during this time of his double-mindedness. Saul never looked at things the same way after this encounter. It says, then he got up and he was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. This is what a season of brokenness looks like. It's what God wants every single one of us to go through. Now, you may be sitting here saying, well, I don't want that. I don't want to be blind. No, it usually doesn't happen that way. But it is a period of time to get us from where we are, at our threshold of scary, to where we know that he wants us to be. But this is what you must understand this morning. If we don't step across the threshold of scary, if we're not willing to embrace the unknown season of brokenness, we will begin moving in the other direction. And while your want is to go this way, what will happen is if we refuse to walk through that threshold, we will begin going the other direction, even if you don't want to admit it. Avoiding the threshold is scary, will cause us to veer off of God's best path for us. And instead, we enter into what I refer to as a doom loop, where we walk away from Jesus. And this is number 10 in your outline. We walk away from Jesus and we begin to be led by our flesh. And when we're led by our flesh, what happens is the flow of the Holy Spirit starts to dry up. And over a period of time, we end up where we know that we don't want to be. We end up on this side. And if you've walked with God for any length of time, you've probably gone through this cycle over and over again. And then one day you'll wake up and you'll wake up to this fact and we'll cry out, oh God, forgive me. I know I wanted to be over here, but for some reason I'm over here. God, will you help me? I'm so sorry. I repent. I'll be back in church this Sunday. And we end up in this cycle year after year, and we can't figure out why. We can never become who we know God has called and wants us to be. A dangerous time. And the danger is that during these times that we're moving towards Jesus, when we're going the right direction, what happens is we start gaining things like knowledge. We start gaining anointing. We start gaining spiritual gifts and talents. We start gaining influence with others. But when we get into this doom loop, it's easy to be deceived, and we can even be number 11. We can be dangerous to the cause of Christ. Because what will happen is you'll start using the good things that he's given you, that we've gained, and we'll start using them in the wrong direction. And I'm embarrassed to admit, but many of us, including myself, have done spiritual damage to coworkers and friends and relatives because they look at our lives and they say, you know what, I'm not really sure that you believe what you say that you believe. How often have we reached a threshold of scary only to do one of the phases. And we get uncomfortable. And we head back to what we know that we don't want to be. 2 Timothy 3:1, this is so powerful. It says this, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Sounds like our world, doesn't it? Sounds like the society that we live in. But the problem here is that Paul wasn't describing the world. He was actually describing the church. He was describing people who've hit the threshold of scary, and instead of embracing a season of brokenness, they've turned back and they've moved into this cycle of doom. Verse 5 says this, having a form of godliness. That's why I know that he's talking about the church. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Answer 12 in your outline. Having a form of godliness, but no power. So simple when you see it. It's so simple when you look at it. But this so completely describes so many of our spiritual journeys. We're cruising along on our spiritual growth continuum. We're moving forward, and then we hit this threshold of scary. We know what we want to become, and we know what we don't want to be. And so this morning, I'm encouraging you. Trust God. Step over the threshold. Embrace the season of brokenness that he has for you. Embrace conviction. Embrace confession. Embrace consecration. And you will be lifted to a new place in him. This morning, I want to ask, what's your threshold? I've been walking for Jesus almost my entire life. And over and over and over again, I've faced these thresholds of scary. I want you to remember, these are not one-time things. This is the process that God uses to take us to a new level with him. I remember a long season where I could never really experience breakthrough. My relationship with Jesus Christ could never be what I knew it could be. My thought life was a complete train wreck. It was a complete mess. And the Holy Spirit convicted me not only of my sin, which I had cried out and repented for over and over again, but he convicted me to confess and build some accountability in my life. And can I tell you that in order to be the leader that God has called me to be, I had to get that figured out. I had to cross that major threshold of scary. Our decision to plant the Lifeway Church was a threshold of scary. God was asking us, will you trust me to see you through? Will you step out in faith even if you don't know if anyone's going to show up? Will you trust me in the areas that you don't have all the experience? Will you trust me? A threshold of scary. Financially, there have been many, many times in our lives where we've been standing right at this threshold. And God said, Andrew, are you willing to put me first? Andrew, will you sacrifice? Will you give? These thresholds of scary. Sometimes they're minor. Sometimes there's minor ones where God has said, you know what? Your attitude, Andrew, towards that person is bad. You need to fix that. Andrew, you're jealous of that church across town, or you're jealous of that other planter who planted the same time as you, and their church is 700 now, you know, and you think that I'm blessing them more than I'm blessing you. What is that? It's a threshold. It's scary. I've got to work through that in order to become who God has called me to be. I believe that every one of us in this room are at a threshold of scary moment in our lives. For some here, it's major. Like if you don't get this figured out, your marriage isn't going to last another year. For others here, it's habits. It's emotions, it's addictions, and right now God has you standing at the precipice of this threshold of scary. Others here, maybe for you it's your giving, it's the tithe. You know, you've been coming to the life for a while, and the Lord has stirred your heart in you the need to start putting Him first by bringing the first 10% to a tithe of your income. And you know that it's God's word. You've heard the teaching, but yet you're standing right on the edge of this threshold, this scary, wondering, should I move forward? You say, God, I'm afraid there won't be enough. I'm afraid I won't be able to make ends meet. Still, there are others here where maybe God has been asking you to sacrifice and to lay some other things down. Maybe things that aren't even sinful, but God's been calling you closer to Him. And you say, well, God, everybody else does it. Everybody else lives like that. Guess what? This isn't about everyone else. This is about God saying, I've got more for you. I've got greater things for you, but you're going to have to go through a season of brokenness in order to get it. What is your threshold of scary? I want you to listen to what Jesus said to the Pharisees, Matthew 21:42. He said, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruits. In other words, Pharisees, you had your chance, but you blew it. And so I'm going to raise something up, what we now know to be the church. I'm going to raise up those who will carry my message forward. They will bear fruit in their life. But I want you to watch this very next verse, verse 44. It says, anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. Jesus is saying every time you come to a threshold of scary, you have two choices. You can choose to be broken, or you can choose to be crushed. I wonder here this morning, is anyone here tired of being crushed? Is anyone here tired of the world beating on you like you're some sort of human punching bag? Is anybody here tired of not becoming what you know in your heart God has called you to be? If you're at that place, there's only one way. And that's to fall on Jesus Christ and embrace brokenness. Walk across the threshold of scary that you're facing today. This morning, I feel this so strongly. I know that God is speaking to many of your hearts right now. And there are some here who you've never made a commitment to follow Jesus, but you feel something inside of you stirring up so strong, and you're finally ready to make that step. There are others here that you know that if your life would have been plotted on that map, that you are headed the wrong direction. And so can I tell you this morning, today is a great day to do an about face and begin to head towards Him. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I don't want to embarrass you in any way, but if you say, you know what, Andrew, I fall into one of those two categories, I'm ready to move towards Him for the very first time, or I'm ready to finally cross that threshold of scary that I've been running from my entire life, I'm ready to re-surrender my life to Jesus Christ. No one looking around, if that's you, would you just lift your hands right now, because I want to pray for you. Thank you. There's hands all over. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Is there anybody who says, God, I'm ready to make that move? This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, pray with me. If you don't know the words to say, you can repeat after me, but I'd like every one of us in this room to begin to talk to God. Lord Jesus, Lord, I cry out to you today. Lord, today I make the decision to turn towards you, God. Lord, forgive me. Lord, thank you for the conviction of your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would wash me, Lord. Make me brand new. Cleanse me today. This morning, Lord, we humble ourselves before you. Jesus, we need you. Lord, as we stand at our various thresholds of scary, God, we're scared because of the unknown. Lord, but as you convict us, Lord, I pray that you would also strengthen us. Lord God, that you would give each and every one of us in this room the courage and the boldness to embrace brokenness, Lord God. Lord, give us faith to move into the unknown so that we would become what we know in our heart that you want for us to be. And Lord, even when we can't see what's on the other side, Lord, we trust you. Come on, why don't you tell him, Lord, I trust you. Lord, help us to be fully engaged. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.